I see our countdown worked. We got most everybody in the pews. We're kind of making the effort to see if we can get started a little closer to being on time. And that's a good thing. James isn't going to be here this morning. He's out sick. Got a bad head cold. So he won't be able to... I like what he's been doing. He's been getting up a couple, 3 minutes before start time and just getting everybody calmed down, and I think that's a good thing. We're... no cheering. We're on Lesson 9, which is a good thing. There are some copies of Lesson 9 out in the foyer. If we run out, holler and we'll get some more copies made. But we're talking about a chronological study of the life of Christ done by Brother Gene Taylor, who does some pretty good work, if you like that, his style. And I do like his style. I think he does a good job. My only issue is he tends to skip a lot. We haven't been skipping. It's one of the reasons we're moving so slowly. I'll leave it to you guys. If you want to try to move faster, we can just answer the questions. I'd much rather have a discussion, but that's me. What do you want? You want to move quicker, just answer questions? You want to keep our discussion going? Okay. Then that's the direction we'll stay. We finished our discussion last week. If you recall, Christ had gone into the Pharisee's home for dinner and hadn't washed his hands, and the Pharisee apparently was thinking, you know what, how awful and everything. So it just led into a discussion of Christ talking to the Pharisee about the Pharisees and their hypocritical attitude of trying to bind law that had never been made. Was not part of the law. So, coming out of that discussion, are there any questions or anything from... I think we did a pretty good job of beating that horse to death. Okay. Well, we'll move into Lesson 9, which is found in Luke chapter 12. And before we start class, we want to open with a word of prayer. If you'll please bow with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for... We thank you for this world. We thank you for the wisdom that you showed when you created it for us. We thank you, Father, for your love that sent your Son, his love that offered himself upon the cross. And Father, we thank you for the wisdom that we find in your revealed truth and the Word. Help us, Father, as we gather together here and study it. Help us to come to an understanding of it that is in line with what you want us to know. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you for all those that have taken out of their time and their schedule to be here. We thank you, Father, for the open hearts and open minds, and help us in our discussion. Guide us in the way that we need to go. Be with all those that are not able to be here, that would want to be, and give them whatever comfort or help that they might need. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 through 59, and we began this discussion last week about leaven. Okay, what is leaven? What is leaven? Yeah, leaven is a mold or a fungus, okay, is what it is. Did you know that? You're putting fungus in your bread. Unless you eat unleavened bread. Oh, wait, this morning we're having unleavened bread. Okay, that's what leaven is. But it's a catalyst. It permeates throughout things and it causes them to It's a gas process that causes the dough to grow. Okay? That's why when you making bread dough, you'll take and all of a sudden it's spilling out of the bowl. You throw it on your bread sheet and you roll it out with the pin. And then when you wad it up and put it back in the bowl, it's shrunk again. And you do that however many times it says to do it, until it, you get what you want. But that's what leaven does. So leaven permeates through things. Somebody please read verses 1 through 3 of Luke chapter 12, please. Luke 12, 1 through 3. Okay. Christ is making a point here, and he begins by saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. This was a discussion that we ended up on last week, if you'll recall. And he defines this leaven of the Pharisees as what? Hypocrisy. How could hypocrisy be compared to leaven? It's full of gas. Good answer. In one way, okay, I would agree with that, but that's quite all right. I expect that. We had two hands going. Irene, then John. Okay. John?
Very similar. So you can't put leaven in bread and expect it only to affect a little bit.
Did you hear that? You've got a lump of dough, and you put leaven way over here on this one side, it's not going to just affect that one side. It's going to affect the whole lump. It permeates through. And this is what Irene is saying. Don't listen to these Pharisees because it spreads through. As we go through the New Testament, you see multiple warnings about wolves coming in clad in sheep's clothing, false teachers. This is what's under discussion. Somebody comes in and they're just missing it in just one little area. But everybody kind of says, well, you know, okay, we can live with that. It's only that one little area that we can live with. And they're really not teaching anything else that's wrong, but just that one area. Last week, week before, I forget when, we had a discussion going on an article. The title of the article, Jesus Did Not Die for Man's Sin. Now think about that title. That was how he titled the article. Now, the article, from that point on, really had a lot of good points. It really did. That when we pray and we ask for forgiveness, what we need to understand is that forgiveness is tied to repentance. And that we can't just pray to God and say, God, forgive me, and expect forgiveness if we choose not to repent. We can't really pray and say, God, would you please forgive brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Now we can ask, we can pray that brother or sister so-and-so find repentance within their heart and ask God for forgiveness. That's a different prayer. But I can't pray and ask forgiveness for you, nor you for me. That's not the way it works. Now that was the basis of the article. All of those I agree with. But boy, that one little point, Jesus didn't die for our sin. Time out. I can't condone the article because of that one little point. even though all of his other points are really good points and valid. But that one little point, no, Jesus did die for our sin. And we can see that throughout the Scriptures. We're told that he is the propitiation for our sin. We're told that he redeemed us. All those things mean he paid the price. What price? Well, there's only one price that could be paid when you talk about the context of sin, and that's the price of eternal damnation. Jesus paid that price so that I don't have to because of my sin. Cecil?
When the statement is made that Jesus died for our sins, there's an implication that's made in that article, of course, that it wants to get exact and make sure that apparently the call is understood that repentance is necessary for salvation unto Jesus Christ. That's what we bump into and get run over by trucks in this faith, that what things are implied that have already been commanded and exemplified and implicated are necessary for our faith. And so we have to understand what's been written and then be prepared, such as what you're doing, to explain these misunderstandings. Yeah. Because we can say that those that believe shall be saved.
And there's what Cecil just described for us. Therein's the danger. We could have looked at this article and just made the assumption in our minds and explained the fact of what he's trying to say when he says Jesus didn't die for our sin. There's a sense, okay, I understand what he's trying to say. But if I take that article and say, look, everybody, isn't this a great article? There are going to be people out there who don't make the assumption, who don't get the implication. There's the danger. Now what have we done? All of a sudden we've taught a whole bunch of people Jesus didn't die for a sin. And they begin to expand upon that. That's how the ball starts rolling down the slippery slope. Okay? That's this leaven of the Pharisees. You know, it sounds like we really talk about stuff way off topic, but we're not. That's exactly what Christ is describing. The leaven of the Pharisees. They came in and they began to say, man, it's really a good thing to wash your hands. Is it? Of course it is. My wife tells me all the time, wash your hands. Okay? That's a good thing. We tell our children, go wash your hands. We're getting ready to eat. That's a good thing. Now, it keeps going and going, and all of a sudden, eventually, that really good thing of washing our hands, what's it become? Law. Is it law? No. Never was. That's what we have to be careful of. That's what Christ is talking about that the Pharisees were doing. Irene said that they were bringing in all of these... I lost the word you said. Traditions, thank you. They were bringing in all of these traditions, and the traditions are fine. Yes, washing hands, washing feet, washing the head, those are all good things. But they're not law. And we can't bind law where God did not bind law. It's going to be our lesson this morning. And we're going to be starting a series in on authority. Okay? We can't bind law where God did not bind law. We have to be careful to read and to understand what's being said so we get that. Okay? So when Jesus said, or the question is, what is the leaven of the Pharisees? That's hypocrisy. And Jesus is telling the disciples, be careful that this hypocrisy doesn't permeate throughout all of the people, to permeate throughout you. Because it's not law. So Jesus warns his disciples about it. And what's the warning that Jesus gives about binding tradition or hypocrisy as law? He makes a point, and the principle is absolutely for us today. What's going to happen? It's all going to be exposed. It doesn't matter if you do it in the quiet of a room. It doesn't matter if you do it in secret. It doesn't matter if you're whispering real quietly in somebody's ear. It's going to be found out. Because God already knows. Christ already knows. Therein is the warning that Christ gives the disciples. Now, I understand this to be saying to the disciples, you need to be careful because I'm getting ready to send you out to teach the world. You need to be careful that you don't fall into the same trap as the Pharisees did and start finding good things and making them law and teaching them as law. Okay? Be careful because it's going to be found out. That, John. That's a good point. It's a theatrical term. And it has to do with an actor who comes out and he plays a role or she plays a role. And that's the idea. That's not who really they are. I mean. Yeah, if you ever encounter somebody who wants to teach you something or talk to you about something, but they really don't want anybody else to know, boy, let the warning signs go up. Okay? If we're not willing to say it to the whole, then we probably shouldn't be saying it to the individual. Okay? You all right? I don't understand that at all. Okay. Question two. Who has Jesus promised to confess before the angels of God? I still can't hear. I'm sorry. Those who declare him as the Son of God. Somebody please find Matthew chapter 10. And is it verses 31 and 32? It's a real popular passage. I know 31's involved, but I don't know if it's 30 and 31 or 31 and 32. When you get it, go ahead and read it, please. No, whoever confesses, Matthew chapter 10. Try 31. Yeah. 32, okay. And the next verse? Okay. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That he is going to declare them, whoever follows him or does his will, before the angels. What do you think that means? Say it. Okay, be careful what you say. There's actually two parts to this that we want to kind of break down and look at. The first is, whoever is doing what he wants them to do. How does it read? Let's see, that's down in verse 8. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man shall confess him also before the angels of God. How do we confess Christ before man? The way we live, absolutely, 100%, the way we live. What's included in that? Break it down. Go ahead, Irene. Everything. What we say, what we do. I'm going to expand this. What we think. You can't think evil and pretend to be good. Okay? That's what the Scriptures teach. We all have issues of where that guy cut me off, you know. Wouldn't mind pulling a gun out and shooting him, you know. I have that thought. We even have to try to control those thoughts. I can't imagine if I were a truck driver all the time like Cecil or David or somebody, I would leave carnage behind me. Okay? Because there are people out there who don't belong out there. But this idea of confessing Christ is in everything we do. And Irene made the point. We began our life with God through Christ by confessing Christ as the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Isn't that what Philip asked the eunuch? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yeah. See, how's the passage go? With the mouth confession is made unto... Is it salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness? I always get them backwards, so I have to watch that. But yeah, we confess towards salvation. And once we're saved, that confession doesn't stop. It's an ongoing, continuing, as Bernice said, lifestyle. That's what we've got to do. I see a hand. Is that John's? Okay. If you remove any one of the five, do you have worship? Think about that concept. And that's a trick question because you can't, but.
I just said it's very important that we do all.
Absolutely. Cecil? So there's the first part. Whoever confesses me before men. That's what Oren read into our hearing from Matthew 10. Now, the second part. This adds something. Matthew 10 tells us, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Luke 12 says, whoever confesses me before men, who is Christ going to confess them before? The angels of God. What does that give you? What understanding does that give you? We have angels, we have God, both from heaven. That's who Christ will confess, the one who confesses Him. What is that? What's the implication there? To me, it's whoever, whatever lives eternally in heaven. That a proclamation is going to get made there of who and what we are if we will just confess Christ before man. John. And then Orin.
Is that synonymous with your name being written in the book of life?
I would agree. Good point. Orin?
So I think this is a good example of the guy who wrote this, skipping over a section. He skipped over who you should fear, the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, and then how you're going to confess and live your life and not be that hypocrite. There seems to be a motivation in there. One is don't fear them that can destroy your body, but rather fear him, God, who can destroy both body and cast you into hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's a little motivation. These guys really can't do anything. So don't be a hypocrite like them. Don't let the leaven assimilate into your life and for those around you. Rather, live for God. And as Paul says in Romans 12:1-2, renewing your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Considering your body a reasonable daily sacrifice.
Yes. Good connection. And you see the point? That's why we're moving a little slower going through it. And thank you, Orin. I appreciate you seeing that. That's the idea behind all this. Don't do this, but do what? Confess Christ. Nona? Yeah. So we're baptized and we come out of that watery grave. We've been washed from our sins. And the beginning of the transformation probably started even a little before that, didn't it? Because as Cecil pointed out, we're to hear the word. That transformation actually begins when we start to believe it. Okay? And it permeates into our hearts, into our minds. We're believing it. What does repentance mean? Turn around. Change our will to God's will. Metanoia, that's a Greek word. It means if you're going this way, you're going to stop and go that way. Okay? That's the transformation process. Right there. So we're turning. That transformation, once we get on the right road, now we're heading in the right direction. The next step in moving in that right direction is confessing Christ before man with our mouth as the Son of the living God. And then responding or reacting to that repentance and confession by being baptized. That's the process that we're engaged in. And once we're baptized, it doesn't stop. Each and every one of us is still in the process of being transformed. We were talking this morning. I told Nona I've taught the book of Revelation 5 times in the last about 50 years. 5 different times. Every time I've taught it, I have changed my mind about it, about something in it. Every time. It's just one of those books that causes that. And as we read through these things, we've probably all read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John hundreds of times. And yet I'm still finding things and I'm going, wow, I didn't remember that. I didn't, you know. But that's important. And it might be just a tiny little point, a little acorn that you pick up. But that's why we study all the time. The discussions that we have are wonderful for that because it makes you think. I may not wind up agreeing, but at least I'm thinking about it. And that's a good thing. So Jesus promised to confess before the angels, and I think John had the idea. It's tantamount to our names being written in the book of life. When we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, God knows about it. The angels know about it. Christ knows about it. The Holy Spirit knows about it. And that's a beautiful thing. So the question then becomes, when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, does God know about it? Do the angels know about it? Jackie, was that a hand? Okay. The Holy Spirit? See, You see how that works? Cecil? Yeah. And that's the key. What renews us? What transforms us? There's only one thing, folks, and that's this right here. It's God's Word working within us. That's it. That's what transforms us. Without the Word, I can't be transformed. I don't know what I'm going to turn into. But with God's Word, I now have the perfect picture of what I need to be. Okay? So, Jesus has promised to confess before the angels of God those who confess Him before men. What has He promised to deny before the angels? Or who has He promised to deny before the angels? How do we deny Jesus before man? Disobedience. Here's the point. And this is one of those little things that we sometimes really fail to understand. I deny Jesus, God, the Word, before man when I choose not to confess Him before man. Now, I was very careful in how I tried to say that. We understand what it means to confess Him, hopefully, before man. It's a life commitment. It's how we live our lives. All I have to do to deny Christ is to not commit my life to Him. I don't have to stand on a rooftop and say, Jesus isn't the Son of God. Is that denying Christ? Absolutely it is. But that's not what this is talking about. That's included. But what this is really talking about is you only have the two options. Either I'm going to faithfully follow Christ, commit my life to Him. Anything else is denying Him. That's an important point. Oren. Yeah. And see, that's really what I'm getting from this and the point that I think Christ is making. We look at other people out there and we say, well, they're good people. They believe in God. Are they denying Christ? Yes, they are, because they're out there. They're not in the church. We don't make that distinction. We consider that to be too harsh of a line to draw. But that's the line Christ draws. Either you confess me in total with a life commitment before man, or you're doing what? You're denying me. That's the understanding that we have to have. There's only two choices. Irene, then Cecil. They claim to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They missed it in one point, James 2:10. Sure, yeah. I know how to walk. I really do. Does that mean I never stumble? Stub my toe? Trip over an imaginary crack in the sidewalk? But it, you see, I do know how to walk. We all make mistakes. And unfortunately, we're tripping over those imaginary cracks in the sidewalk. John? I doubt it. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's contrasting the hypocrisy of what the Pharisees taught with what is God's truth all the way through. So, and I'm in physics, way back when, there was a principle would get made, and then you had to look at all the things that were going on. There's a principle, and I don't remember, of the wave, and there's a word I'm looking for and I lost it, but it's the repetition on waves. Okay? You see this in the ocean. And what is it? Every seventh wave, they say, is the big one. That's what the surfers look for. And it's just, it's a repetition of things. But you take all of these, and that's just one example. Now you take all these different examples, sound waves, light waves, all these things, and you come back to the main principle. The main principle is, don't listen to the Pharisees' hypocrisy. Now see all these other things that we're talking about? Bring them back to, how would that affect the Pharisees' hypocrisy? How would what we're talking about affect the Pharisees' hypocrisy? Who gets denied before the angels of God? The ones that deny Jesus. Who are the ones then that deny Jesus? What's the principle? The hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Those that are following that hypocrisy are denying Jesus. Okay? You see how it works? And it's really not difficult. So, John, I think you're right. All these things, just keep bringing them back to that main point, and you kind of go, oh, I see how that fits. Okay? Question 3. How were the disciples instructed to answer when questioned by magistrates and others in power? Can we have somebody please read verses 11 and 12? Go ahead and pick up 10, 11, and 12, please. Okay, here's a really good illustration of skipping. In the question is answered, and question 3 is answered in verses 11 and 12. What verse got skipped? Verse 10. You think verse 10 is an important verse? Whoever blasphemes cannot be forgiven against the Son of Man. That can be forgiven. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. That's an important verse that we need to understand and to talk about. Okay? Now, what's the main principle? Everything gets related back to what? The Pharisees' hypocrisy. Right? What was the Pharisees' hypocrisy that we've already discussed? What were they doing? Okay. One, saying that the miracles of Christ was performed by Satan, or because of the power of Satan. Two, they were bringing in the traditions of man and teaching them as doctrine. Keep that thought in mind. We've only got 2 minutes. That ain't going to be enough to discuss this. Okay? I already know that. So we can put a quick answer then on question 3. How were the disciples instructed to answer when questioned by magistrates and others in power? What Jesus tell them not to worry about? Don't worry about what you're going to say. It's going to be given you. I have a question. These little things pop into my mind all the time. Do we have that same promise? I saw one no and I saw one yes. What do you mean by it, Oren? So I think the... Go ahead, Nona. That was profound. Where'd that come from? Yeah. The answer to the question is yo or ness. Take your pick. Cecil? Say that again. We were talking about fungi earlier, weren't we? Okay. Here's the point. And I think what Oren and Nona both said. This is revealed to us through whom? Through the Holy Spirit. This is the revelation God gave us through the Spirit, inspired by God. When we read this, when we meditate on it, when we take this and we sit on it and absorb it through osmosis, when we chew on it, put it in our hearts, those things come out. And they might come out when we least expect them. But they're there. And that's the whole point. Is it what Christ was telling His disciples? No, it's a different thing in a way. They were going to receive it in a miraculous sense because they didn't have this to read and to understand. So when the words were given to them, it was inspiration, 2 Timothy 3. For us, it's inspiration, only it's our response, our studying of, reading, putting this within our heart. Okay? Same thing, just kind of in a different way. So that was question 3. Next week we're going to talk about verse 10. So do some reading on it. Figure it out. Discuss verse 10. Thank you all. Appreciate your attendance and discussion.